How are we, church? Good. Hey, so it's been a week, right? it's been a rough week. It's been a rough month. It's been a rough year. It's been a rough decade, however you want to look at it. And I just want you to know that, like, once again, we experience brokenness in sin and humanity. And wherever you are on the spectrum of views and all the things, I think we all can just acknowledge that our brokenness, our sin is on display, right? And I want to encourage you, you know, we don't make a lot of public statements, but I want you to know that we're praying for you. And I want you to know that if you want to talk and engage in conversation and wherever you're at, that we are more than welcome, more than willing to sit down and talk to help process. And that's what our CR, our role is to help us process as we watch things happen in the world and to keep us anchored in Christ above all else. And so I keep coming back to, whenever things happen, Psalm 46. Because in Psalm 46, you see this, there's natural upheaval in the world, there's political upheaval, there's military upheaval in the world, and it comes down to one thing in Psalm 46. God is in charge, and God's kingdom will reign at the end of the day. And my prayer is that in the end of Psalm 46, there's this line that says, "Be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God." You've heard me say this a lot, but I think we need to be constantly reminded of it. I need to be constantly reminded of it. That our reacting, our conversations, our posting, our convictions, our actions need to all come from a place of being still before God first. And everything flows from that. So I encourage you, church, to be still and know that God is God, first and foremost. And let everything else come from that. Stop watching the commentary. Stop watching the video. Stop the doom scrolling. Have good quality conversations with other humans in dialogue. And do it respectfully. And we, of course, pray for our neighbors to the west. I know I have many pastor friends that are pastoring churches in Minneapolis that are trying to navigate this context. And we have many friends, and I'm sure you have many friends and family as well. So let's pray. Take a moment and just pray. Jesus, we come to you. We come to you with all of our questions, all of our thoughts, all of our grieving, all of our wondering, all of our confusion. And Jesus, we ask that you keep us abiding in you, first and foremost. That we may be still, that we may know that you are God and you are in control. And Jesus, we ask that you have mercy and that you meet us wherever we're at. And that first and foremost, we would be following you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wanted to mention the partner meeting that we're having. If you have been coming to church Renew for a long time and you call this place your home, I would invite you and encourage you to come to the partner meeting to find out what it means to be a partner. A partner is the highest kind of commitment to the church in serving and in being a part of the church. It's the partners are the ones that are help shape the vision of the church. And so we are influenced by our commitments, right? By what we commit to. It changes us and we change it. And so in a world where people are hesitant to make commitments and it feels weird to be a member of a church, maybe you have some baggage with that. I would invite you and encourage you to come to the partner meeting to find out what it's all about. because we need you, as you follow Jesus, as you are part of this community, to commit and lead and be who you are, who God has gifted you to be. So that's my encouragement. Information is in the app in the events page, or you could head downstairs and ask the welcome table, or come up and ask me afterwards, and I can let you know. All right, now we will get into the sermon. How many people are still pursuing your New Year's Eve resolutions and goals? Come on, raise your hand. Don't be. How many of you are not? Yeah, we can be honest, right? I mean, isn't there a day in January that's like the quitting day, right? When people like are like hanging on for a couple weeks, doing their resolutions, and then there's a day when the wheels just come off and they're like, I'm gonna eat whatever I want, right? How many of you have ever been to a beach and swam in the ocean? All right, audience participation, this is good. So when you go to the beach, right? Like my family will go to the beach and you set up camp on the beach, put up your tent and your umbrella, not your tent, I don't know, I'm not sleeping on the beach, but your umbrella, you're building a sandcastle, you're doing all the beach things, right? You're laying out, you got your towels out. And what happens when you step into the water to play, to have fun? Right, you get in the water, you get crushed by some waves, and you get out there and you're like, this is great, this is the best time ever. Maybe you're throwing a ball around, maybe you're just splashing around, maybe you're just floating. Like you're one of those people that just like to float in the water and it's just beautiful and serene, amazing, all this stuff. What happens as you swim in the water? What? Seaweed? I mean, seaweed maybe. Hopefully you don't experience any animals, fish, or anything like that. But if you're playing in the water, doing whatever you do, for any amount of time, you start to drift, right? Like, you'll start over here, all your things will be over here, and before you know it, you will be 30 yards down from where your things are. And how many of you have been that experience? Maybe you have kids and your kids are playing in the water and you're sitting on the beach, or maybe you're in the water or you're just watching them slowly go with the current. I have. How many of you have experienced that time when you look up from playing in the water and you go, oh no, I don't know where my stuff is. Like I gotta reorientate myself and get back to the spot. I gotta swim either against the current or get out of the water and then walk down the beach to where my things are. Do you have to work to drift along with the current? No, it just happens, right? Like you have no knowledge of it. It just slowly takes you along. It's interesting because I think with that illustration in mind, drifting is the default status in our life. Consider these categories. Marriage. What happens if you do nothing in marriage? Like you just get married and then you're like, okay, cool. Now I get to like live with you and do life with you. And like you're not intentional about talking to each other. You're not intentional about actually like pursuing your spouse and dating. You're not intentional about dealing with your childhood trauma and the way that you communicate and deal with the unhealthy parts of that so that you can build healthy communication. You're not intentional about giving gifts and doing all these things. What happens, right? We just sort of drift. Work takes over. Laziness takes over. All these other things take over. And before you know it, you could be sitting there, married, living in the same home with somebody and going, I'm not sure who you are. Right? Come on, married people. Help me out. You're looking at me like, me? No. No, we're good. Right? Fitness, your body. What happens if you don't do anything? You start to drift. Like Like that's the default status. We want to be comfortable. We want easy living. And there's food choices and easier food choices and harder food choices. And if you take the easier food choice all the time and you don't get out and move and work out and lift things and walk and do all the things that we're supposed to do to maintain a healthy body, what happens? Our bodies just drift and our bodies just drift towards decay. Right? And if we're not intentional, you start to get weaker. Your bones start to ache a little more. You're not as flexible. Your muscle starts to erode. All if we're not being intentional about what we do with our bodies. How many of you work in an organization? In a business, in any sort of organization, a school. If you talk about business leadership and all those things, there's a phrase called organizational drift. An organizational drift is a slow, often unnoticed gap that forms between an organization's intended process, values, vision, and mission, and how the work actually gets done. And due to real-world pressures and decreased performance and all these things, like over time, your business could be going along and you could be chasing after your mission, but as pressures of this world, as stresses get introduced to each employee, to each system, you may find yourself 5 years later going, what was our mission again? How do we do what we do? Because we've just sort of adopted things to do because they've been easy, because it's been simple, or these things have kind of creeped up in our culture, and I don't even know where they came from. Organizational drift is a real challenge. And on top of that, our world is designed to cause us to drift in our modern era. I got this from another pastor, but he talked about this TED Talk. In a TED Talk by Dino Ambrosi called The Battle for Your Time, Exposing the Costs of Social Media. There is a chart up here. It's a little hard to read. That's as big as I could get it. The TED Talk's 11 minutes long. Go listen to it if you like. But he starts off and he goes, okay, if you're an 18-year-old, and optimistically, you're going to live until 90. He charted out and he goes, you have 864 months to live. 864. And then he goes, all right, you're going to spend 288 months sleeping. Non-negotiable. You kind of have to do it. You're going to spend 126 months at school and work. You're going to spend over the course of your life 36 months eating and cooking. And then you're going to spend 18 months driving, 36 months doing chores and errands. And then you're going to spend 27 months in the bathroom. Also non-negotiable. It's just going to happen, right? And so he charts it all out, and these numbers might not be completely accurate, but I imagine they're pretty accurate. You're going to have 334 months of free time to do whatever you want. Have relationships, celebrations, celebrate holidays, go out for coffee, go out for dinner. You're going to have, it's the time when you can be creative, you can enjoy your hobbies, all sorts of things. And then he said this, and this is a frightening stat. He said the average 18-year-old in the U.S. is on pace to spend 93% of those 334 months looking at a screen. That totals about 310 months of remaining free life spent on screens. What's your average screen time in a week, on a day? The whole rest of the TED Talk is him talking about how social media platforms, they're designed to take up as much of your time as you will allow them to. That's how it's designed. The new capital is your focus, your attention. And so it's an interesting TED talk and helpful. But my question for this is, you may look at this and go, oh, that's awful. But we're all in the same boat, right? The average adult spends 4.5 hours looking at screens on a daily basis. And that's not necessarily demonizing being on your phone or being on social media. Before social media, it was TV. The average household would spend 4 hours a night watching TV. So this isn't anything new to us. It's just an example that if we're not intentional, we will drift into a certain way of living. A question for you. If you look at your screen time, and it has the daily average, whatever that number is, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 20 hours, whatever that is, my question would be, do you intend to spend that much time on your screen per day? Most of us would say no. Most of us at the beginning of the day would, I'll spend 2 hours on my phone. And then you look at your screen time at the end of the day, and it's probably higher than whatever you intended it to be. And this isn't saying that the phones are evil or anything like that, or social media isn't helpful. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is. But this is an example of one of the ways that we can drift in how we're living. The thing that I like about this chart is you'd go, there's no way that I would spend that much time looking at a screen if I didn't break it down. But I probably do. And the next generation will. We tend to drift. And it tends to not take much effort to just drift along. The effort actually comes in checking your markers, right? Every now and then when you're playing in the water and the current is taking you, to have an eye on where your camp is, to where your home base is. And to every now and then, while you're playing in the water, having fun, doing the things that you do, slowly being drifted down the shore to look up and go, oh, it's time to swim upstream a little bit. It's time to get out of the water and walk back and start playing again in the water closer to my home base. This is kind of an intro sermon to our series, but one of my questions is, what kind of markers do you have set up to let you know that you're drifting? Think about it. In your life, in your relationships, in your friendships, in your marriage, in your body, in your mind, what kind of markers do you have set up to let you know that you are drifting? To let you know that maybe you've been neglecting something, maybe you've been intentional about something. Oh, I've noticed that my wife and I haven't been on a date in 6 months. We're just kind of two passing ships in the night in the midst of all the responsibilities, and it feels like we're growing further and further apart. Oh, it's time to check your marker and maybe swim upstream or get out of the water to get back to home base. But your friendships, you're going, man, it's been a long time since I've really hung out with this one person. I really love them. I value them. They're my best friend. They're the one that pours into my life. I pour into them life, their life. But like life has just gotten busy, and I've kind of just lost sight of where they are and what they're going through. It's time to get out of the water and go back. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to church. I'm trying to, but like these weekend sports tournaments get in the way. It's just, I'd rather sleep in because it's cold and icy outside. And I'd rather I'm really busy. I got a lot of things to do. I got kids. I got family. I got work. I got school. I got classes. I got studying. I got all these things to do. And you slowly drift from being connected to Jesus. What markers do you have set up to let you know that you are drifting? Notice, I didn't say if you are drifting. Because there's one thing for certain, when you get in the ocean, the current is going to take you somewhere. In the water that we swim in our culture, in our life, it is taking you somewhere. The question is, are we going to swim upstream every now and then? Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1. There's just two verses that I'll share with you today, and they're both out of the book of Hebrews. The letter is being written to people that are being persecuted, that it is hard for them to follow Jesus in their culture, in their day and age. There is real persecution going on where there's a threat to their lives. There are things going on that make it very complicated to follow Jesus. And I find it interesting that in chapter 2, it says this, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard so that we do not drift away. So that we don't drift away. It's going to be hard to meet as a Christian. It's going to be hard to follow Jesus. There's going to be forces that are going against you. There's going to be a current that's taking you somewhere. And it is easy, the writer of Hebrews says, to drift away, to slowly and surely, maybe without even knowing it, end up somewhere else. There's this phrase that I came across that inspired this whole series. And it was this, we don't drift into Christ-likeness. We don't drift into Christ-likeness. You and I, we are all being formed in various ways, ranging from the country we were born in to our experiences growing up, the family that we lived in, our friendships, the things that we consume, our news, our media, all the things, our relationships, our jobs, our callings, our identity, all these things form who you and I are. And there's one guarantee in life. If you are following Jesus, we don't drift into being more like Christ. That's something we have to be intentional about. As much as we are formed by the culture and the water that we swim in, we need to be formed by Jesus through the way that we live, through our habits, through our practices, through the ways that we rewire our brains to think according to Christ. As we've talked about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, there's three main components to it. It's learning how to be with Jesus, learning how to be like him, and then learning how to live the way that he lived. If you could boil down what it means to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, into three simple statements, that's it. And the first and foremost challenge is to learn how to be with Jesus. Because Jesus is the home base. And as soon as we get in the water of life, we will start to drift. John 15, I talk about it a lot, but there's this simple selection of verses there where Jesus basically says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. All you have to do is abide in me. He says it like it's simple. But that's your main task as a follower of Jesus, is to abide. It's not to worry about how the fruit is going to be grown. It's not to worry about what kind of fruit is grown. It's not to worry about productivity, about producing things, about being somebody. It's all about, are you abiding in Christ? And Jesus says, that's all you need to do. He also, the way the Greek is, it says it like this, make your home in me as I make my home in you. Make me your home base. and I will become your home base. So my simple question as we kind of get into this series is this. As you look at your relationships, as you look at your mind and your body, as you look at your life in Christ, maybe you've done some of this as you've entered the new year, but as you look at those things, the question is, where are you drifting? Do you have markers set up to let you know where your home base is and how far you're drifting away from it? Do you have markers set up along the beach to let you know if and when you are drifting away from Jesus? And how do you intentionally swim upstream or get out of the water to walk back to your home base? On a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So that's what we're going to talk about in this series. And I want us to first be aware of where we are drifting. So maybe you want to draw a diagram or just write these things out and spend some time this week and seriously ask yourself the question, where am I drifting? I used to pray a lot, but I just kind of fallen out of the habit. And I used to have a kind of a routine, a habit of prayer, and you know, life got busy and I just kind of forgot about it. And I'd like to get back to it. Or I've never really had a habit or routine of prayer, and I really think that might help is to teach me how to learn and be with Jesus. And so maybe this new year, that's one of the things I want to focus on. How do I build that into my life? Where are you drifting? As the worship team comes up, just ask that question to Jesus in prayer. Jesus, we come to you this morning. And we ask, as we begin the new year, as we have this kind of natural marker in time, we ask the question, Jesus, for you to show us or reveal to us, make us aware of where we are drifting from you. Jesus, it's a question that we all struggle with. We all have an answer for it. Because simply living in our culture, in our life, causes us to drift. Things pull at our attention. Things become priorities. And all of us drift when we swim in the currents of life. So Jesus, we ask you to help us become aware of where we're at, how we've drifted, and help us learn how to get back to our home base and abiding in you. In your name we pray. Amen.